This is The Allusionist, in which I, Helen Zaltzman, swipe right on language. Coming up in today's show, the loving embrace of books. Or books of loving embraces. Both? On with the show. In Culver City, Los Angeles, California, there is a bookstore unlike any other. Step over the threshold and a doormat that says love. There are brocade sofas, books suspended from the ceiling like a flock of birds, a one-eyed dog, Fitzwilliam Waffles, and bookshelves crowded with sports, vampires, Regency, Victorian, erotica, shifters, Highlanders, historical fantasy, cowboy contemporary. This is The Ripped Bodice, and it's the only bookstore in the USA to sell exclusively romance books.
I'm Leah Koch, and I'm one half of the owners of The Ripped Bodice.
I'm Bea Koch, and I'm the other half of the sister duo.
Leah and Bea Koch are longtime fans of romance novels. Bea even wrote her graduate thesis on them. They opened The Ripped Bodice in March 2016.
So it kind of came out of both our love of romance and the fact that there is no other romance bookstore in the United States. We also thought it would help bring legitimacy to the genre. So many other subgenres have bookstores, comic bookstores, mystery bookstores, science fiction bookstores. And the one female-dominated genre did not have its own bookstore.
According to the Romance Writers of America, only around 15% of romance readers are male. The Koch sisters estimate that, aside from any who might be writing under a female pseudonym, perhaps 5 to 10% of romance authors are male. Although it is also often the case that a romantic novel written by a male author will be marketed more as literary fiction than romance. Put a different cover on One Day by David Nichols and say it was written by, I don't know, Valerie Rose, and watch the critical respect for that book immediately evaporate. Romance readers often find themselves in a similar predicament.
There is a certain amount of defense in being a romance fan. If you're going to be a vocal romance fan, unfortunately, you're going to have to spend some of that time explaining to people why what you like is valid and why their opinion is stupid.
Just do it.
Okay. The most basic response is, why on earth do you care what I'm reading? I never say that, but that is the honest question. It's like, why do you care? I like it. But let's get slightly more academic than that. Romance is primarily written by women for women. Let's not diminish the contributions of men, but let's set them aside for a second. It's a female-dominated genre.
And historically, it's associated with a female readership, which is very important in the critical perception of the genre.
Right. So it's books where women's thoughts, emotions, sexuality take center stage. And there's a lot of other stuff that happens around it. You know, that's what subgenres are. So it's like surrounded by, you know, carriages and dresses, or surrounded by vampires and werewolves, or surrounded by FBI guys on the run, whatever. That's all secondary. The thing at the heart of it is a woman's experience.
So Mills and Boone, home of romance, books by women, for women. And what better definition of feminism than by women, for women in terms of romantic fiction?
This is Lisa Milton, executive publisher of Harlequin, and as such, she is responsible for the notorious romance imprint, Mills and Boone.
Everyone knows it. You've heard of it, I've heard of it. If you go into the street and you ask anybody over the age of 45, they've heard of Mills and Boone.
Even if you've never read one of their books, you might have an idea of what Mills and Boone represents. A quivering, innocent heroine, hair blowing in the sea breeze as her lantern-jawed lover, smelling faintly of the glistening chestnut stallion he just galloped in on, sweeps her up in his strong, sexually confident arms. That's actually not the whole story with Mills and Boone at all. Throughout its history, the company has been a real innovator. It was ahead of the curve with e-books, and with selling books outside of bookshops. We're now used to supermarkets driving book sales, but Mills and Boone was on the case decades earlier, distributing books at newsagents and petrol stations. And of course, marketing books to women was an unusual tack to take then. albeit with somewhat cynical motivation.
We might have been by women for women, but it was a marketing conceit. This was some men who saw a way of making money out of women, you know.
Gerald Rusgrove Mills and Charles Boone founded the company in 1908, but not to publish romances specifically.
It was a traditional publisher. The intention was to be like any other trade publisher. They would publish Jack London, they published some academic texts.
Had some P.G. Woodhouse, didn't they?
They did have P.G. Woodhouse. It was fascinating. But what they realised in the 1930s is that there was, in the UK, a generation of women who were now working. They probably hadn't worked before. Previous generations hadn't worked.
The other factor Mills and Boone recognised is that opportunities for real-life romance weren't plentiful because so many men had died in the First World War.
So there were many spinsters and there were many widows. And actually, there was some money because these women were working, but there wasn't really any happiness, there wasn't joy. And what they created were portable, cheap, romantic fiction novels that were more like bookazines or magazines that you could consume in a weekend. And the idea was you'd get your wages at the end of the week, you'd buy a Mills and Boone, you'd read it over the weekend, and you would escape your life, this life where, you know, this grey life of going to work and not having your romantic relationship or your partner or and not having the possibility of finding one. And it was very much boy meets girl, something happens, relationship doesn't quite work, boy and girl separate, boy and girl come back together again, happy ever after. And that grew every decade for years and years and years and years.
Each month, Mills and Boone published 90 new novels in physical book format and more than that number again in ebooks. They have some 1,500 authors around the globe, writing for the 16 different Mills and Boone lines, such as Nocturne, paranormal and science fiction romance, Spice, Mills and Boone's most sexual imprint.
We've got historical, we've got modern, which is the biggest series. We've got Cherish, which is babies and marriage, but no sex, because some people don't want sex.
Although a lot of readers do want sex. Sex with Doctors is perennially popular.
Really popular. It's our third biggest series in the UK. Sex with a CEO comes first, possibly a prince or a sheikh, and billionaires galore.
I wonder whether the USA's new president and his cabinet have taken the sheen off billionaire fantasies.
It certainly puts me off. Yeah, it would be interesting to see how that evolves.
It would be Greenpeace activists. They'll be the new romantic interest.
That would be so fabulous.
For now, though, as you probably noticed, fantasy favours jobs that are high status and high income. But don't forget, the billionaires, the doctors, they can be the women in the story.
There was an assumption that the books were always about powerful men and weak women. That is not at all what our books are about. Our heroines are feisty. They're in control. They're making the decisions. Yes, they want a sexy guy, but I mean, it's really important. These are women who are consenting to, enjoying and being very aware of their own sexuality. And that's really empowering. That's what our stories are. These are stories of women who know what they want, go out and get it and have it.
But it hasn't always been this way.
The books definitely reflect their generation. The books reflect the times in which they are written, and the books have evolved. You know, when they started, there wasn't any, shall we call it, action. The bedroom door would close. You wouldn't see anything. You know, you might have a heaving bosom and some sighs and a lengthy snog. Probably wouldn't be called a snog. Would be called a kiss.
But that an osculation.
That, yes, exactly. But I think in the 70s they were a difficult time, and there are titles that were published then that I wouldn't consider feminist that in the 21st century are not appropriate at all.
During Mills and Boone's long existence, women's lives have changed considerably in society, professionally, sexually, and the books reflect that. But it's also the case that reading a romance from 40 or 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, can be pretty problematic if you apply present-day mores to what was considered normal at the time of writing. The female character being subordinate to men, say, or consent being reluctant or non-existent.
We try to be very upfront about the origins of this genre. We included it in our name. Romance novels used to be called bodice rippers, and it was a derogatory term to kind of, you know, shunt them to the side. But we're trying to reclaim the history of the genre, and those books were written in a different time by women living in a different time.
She's dancing around it a little bit, but a lot of romance novels from the late 70s feature rape in some form between the hero and heroine, not like she gets raped and then goes and meets the true love of her life, because that was the way that they could explore women's sexuality. Yes, romance really reflects the society at any given time. We're always looking for the books that are sex positive. That's in our manifesto over on the wall.
Point two on the manifesto. At The Ripped Bodice, we believe in being a sex-positive feminist business.
Especially in a big city where we have such a diverse readership and customer base, we feel a responsibility to make sure that they are getting good information, especially our younger customers. We want to sell them books that are going to encourage, you know, a healthy view of sex and relationships. So there are people who still write, you know, the slightly older school.
It's called dubious consent, dubcon. It's not something that we read. We don't really read like dark romance stuff that's on the edge of that because it's not our particular cup of tea. But everything can't be everyone's cup of tea.
Right.
We try to say, don't yuck other people's yum. Let people like what they like. However, we have a limited amount of space and we have to make editorial choices in this bookstore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Leah's getting at. If we have a certain shelf space, the books we want to sell are the ones that portray healthy relationships.
Yeah.
They also want to sell books that portray relationships that aren't white, gender binary, heterosexual couples. These books are in short supply, but the ones The Ripped Bodice can get sell out fast. Publishers, take note.
It's like totally realistic to read all about Ice Planet Barbarians, but God forbid you read about two black people falling in love. I mean, come on, publishing, get with the freaking program.
Yes, Ice Planet Barbarians is a real book.
It's a great book. I'm not denigrating Ice Planet Barbarians at all. It is thoroughly enjoyable.
I think the publishers that are going to do well in the next few years are the people who are listening to their readers. The people that can respond to the desperation for more representation are going to thrive. We have seen such a growing demand for diversity and romance in all forms, whether it's race, whether it's sexual orientation.
Couplings, you know, non-traditional pairing,
mm-hmm.
non-traditional heroines, non-traditional heroes. It's so incredible to see a genre that we've loved for so long responding to the world as it is today.
And Mills and Boone just published its first novel featuring a protagonist who uses a wheelchair. But progress is slow. Publishing still has a long way to go to offer better representation. But even if you're not a publisher, you can push things forward. If there aren't books which portray romance and sex and relationships the way you see them, get writing. Romance is a genre where self-published authors have had great success, and Mills and Boone have an open submissions process. You don't need an agent. This is what you need.
There are a few things that Mills and Boone has to be. Has to be great dialogue, has to be great sex, and has to be happily ever after.
So has no one can die at the end?
No, you really can't. I mean, happily ever after is absolutely what we are.
Especially during these tumultuous times. Who needs fictional dystopias when you have the news, eh?
Readers respond to events in a very honest and straightforward way, I think. And when times are great, you can read stories of misery and you can read stories of things not going well and you can read stories with difficult endings or stories that don't even end, stories that just the story ends but you want more. You can read those when times are good because you as an individual are perhaps comfortable or confident or you feel safe, you might feel secure. When times are turbulent or difficult or you're dealing with uncertainty, you have to find certainty in your reading. As readers, we're looking for fun, happiness, laughter, escapism.
In case you were wondering what draws people to romance novels.
I think the very simple answer is they make people happy. They're fun to read. They're fun.
We try to have a good time with all of this. It's supposed to be fun. That's the whole point of this subgenre. It's about being joyful.
The Ripped Bodice is a joyful place indeed. It's a gorgeous shop. There's every kind of romance novel your heart could desire, including a stash of vintage Mills and Boons. And they run regular book signings and comedy nights and other events. Even if you can't go to the store, you can get book recommendations every couple of weeks if you sign up to their mailing list. It's all on their website, therippedbodicela.com. Thanks to Bea and Leah Koch for appearing on the show, and to Lisa Milton from Mills and Boon. Visit millsandboon.co.uk to order their books, join their book club, and to submit that romance manuscript. Although, everyone says it's much trickier to write one than you'd expect. Maybe because a lot of us have trouble putting sex and love into words.
But I haven't yet got the language of sex or romance or, you know, if I use the word erotic, I think it's a total turn-off for everybody. But what are the words I'm going to use? That's what I'm wrestling with.
It's really difficult because the words tend either to be too medical.
Yeah. Shall we say them?
The vagina word, say.
Or labia.
Or very slangy in a deliberately ridiculous way. Yeah. Or very much too florid. So exactly. You've got to find somewhere in the middle.
And I haven't found it yet.
It's a lifetime's work.
It is. And I'm not going to give up till I've found it.
This is what I'll be trying to find in the next episode. I can't promise that I won't give up before I cringe so hard I sprain every joint in my body. Before we go, your randomly selected word from the dictionary today is hutment, noun, military, an encampment of huts. Try using it in an email today. This episode was produced by me, Helen Zaltzman. The theme tune is by Martin Austwick. Thanks to Nikesh Shukla, Kevin Smokler, and Kimon Daltas for their help. You can find me at Facebook and Twitter / Allusionist Show, or stop by at theallusionist.org.